I sure am glad to be washed by the blood. Amen. Amen. Glad to be saved this morning. Well, I want to get right into the message this morning out of Daniel chapter number 1. I appreciate that song. That was great. Amen. I praise the Lord for all the singing this morning. It sure is good to be saved. Amen. Pastor said he's been thinking about amazing grace. I sat last night and just reflected upon what God's done in my life and just took a little walk down memory lane. It's good to do that every now and then.
Right.
Just kind of remember where God's brought. Don't stay there. I don't want to stay there. Thank God he got me away from there. But it's good every now and then just to remember where God found us and what he's done for us and where he's brought us to. And thank God where we're going. Amen.
Amen.
I'm so glad that I've been set free.
Right.
My sins are forgiven. My name's written in heaven. I'm a child of the King. Amen.
Amen.
I know how it feels. Lay my head on my pillow at night and know that everything's okay.
Right.
Right? Amen. Well, Daniel chapter number 1, I want to preach a message to you this morning. And I've been praying God would just give me a calm spirit and a calm heart and be able to relay the message that he's laid upon my heart to you. I want to preach a message this morning entitled, Dare to be a Daniel. Dare to be a Daniel. Now, obviously, it's Youth Sunday, and I want to really challenge our young people here this morning. I'll do this. If you're under the age of 20 in this auditorium this morning, say 21. The world likes to put that number. If you're under the age of 21 this morning, would you please just stand to your feet briefly? I just want to see how many 21 and under in this building this morning. That's a blessing. Look at them. They're still popping up. Amen. All right. You can be seated. Thank you so much. I'm glad to see that many young people in the house of God on a Sunday morning.
Amen.
Amen. There's always a remnant. We're going to see that this morning from the passage of Scripture. God's always got a remnant. Thank God for that. And so those of you that are here and you're young this morning, I really want to challenge you as we look at the life of this man here. And we're going to see at a young age, he chose to do something for God. He dared to do something great for God. And I want to challenge some young people in our midst this morning. Dare to be a Daniel. Dare to be a Daniel. But I don't want to stop that challenge with the young people. I like to consider myself still young. I'm 40 years old, right? So I should have said to those of you 40 and understand, right? But I'm not a middle-aged man, am I? Come on. I remember when my mom turned 40, they talked about that being over the hill. Man, I'm climbing the hill, right? But so as a middle-aged man, I want to dare to be a Daniel. I think even those of you that are a little older, and I am going to, you know, preachers, they really bother me when they say this. It just happened, I think, last Sunday, said something about all those gray-haired saints. I'm 40, right? Yeah, they always want to talk about them gray-haired saints like they're older, right? But anyway, it's wisdom. Yeah, but anyway, I don't even know where I was going with that. But I want to challenge us all, from the young to the old, let's dare to be a Daniel. We're going to see in Daniel's life, Daniel, this man that dared to be different, this man that dared to do something great for God, he didn't just do it when he was young, he did it when he was old. Daniel lived a life for God all of his life. And I want to kind of just take a snapshot, an overview of the life of Daniel this morning. I want to challenge you to dare to be a Daniel. You know, when I was younger, we used to like to play a game called Truth or Dare. One of my best friends, childhood friends, is here this morning. And I can't count the times him and I probably played Truth or Dare, right, together. That was the big thing back in the 80s and early 90s. I don't know if they still play that. If you do, please stop. But anyway, we used to play Truth or Dare. And I don't know. I was just that guy that always wanted to say dare. Right? I kind of liked a dare, a challenge. Now, to my own regret, sometimes I said dare. You got to be careful about saying dare around your friends, right? We know those friends, right, that like to see you get hurt, like to see you eat stuff you can't stand or do whatever, right? But I used to like to play Truth or Dare, and I always picked dare. You know, as I stand here this morning and I preach this message and I try to challenge us all as a group, but especially our young people here this morning, to dare to be a Daniel, you know, I think there's something inside of all of us, especially those that are young among us, but I believe all of us, I believe there's something inside of us that just likes a challenge. You know, in our society, and I want to get to my message this morning, but in our society, you know, that's being taken away. And it's the devil. This country was built upon people that were not afraid of a challenge. But that's being taken away from our next generation. And I want to challenge our young people this morning. Hey, don't be afraid. Don't be scared to take a challenge. Amen. Dare to be a Daniel this morning. We need some people in our generation that will rise up in courage and without fear and say, I will be a Daniel. You say, well, how similar is Daniel's situation to ours? I think you're going to see this morning it's very similar. I had Brother Nick read verses 1 through 8 to you, and I just want to give you a little backdrop here about the life of Daniel. Before I get into the message, I want to give us a little background. You know, Daniel and his people had been taken into captivity. I wish I had time to really establish this, but if you'll read the Old Testament, and I realize that many of you here this morning are very familiar with it. For many years, hundreds of years, the prophets had been preaching and prophesying that if the children of Israel did not turn back to God, if they did not put away their false gods, if they did not stop worshiping idols, that God was going to allow them to be taken into captivity. Daniel prophesied about it. I mean, not Daniel prophesied. Isaiah prophesied about it. Habakkuk prophesied about it. Jeremiah prophesied about it. Micah prophesied about it. And many other of the Old Testament prophets prophesied that if the children of Israel did not turn back to God, that they would go into captivity. And here in Daniel chapter 1, what was read in your hearing this morning is that event happening. The children of Israel have been taken into captivity. Look at it in verse number 1. It says, the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem and besieged it. He took it over. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand. You say the Lord gave his people into the hand of the Babylonians? Yes. You know, if God's people won't do what God says do every now and then, he will allow us to go through some things that we didn't have to go through. And that's where the children of Israel are. They're in bondage in Babylon. And the Bible says that they went in and they went in. It says the Lord gave Jehoiakim into Judah in the hand with the part of the vessels of the house of God. They went into the house of God. And it says, which he carried into the land of Shinar to the house of his God, little g. And he brought the vessels into the treasure house of, and here it is again, little g, his God. And the king spake unto the master eunuchs, and he said, bring certain children of Israel. And I'm not going to continue to read, but so Babylon is coming in, and they've taken captive the children of Israel. They've sieged the city. They've went into the house of God. They've taken the vessels of the house of God, and they're doing what they want, and they're worshiping their God, the little g God, the Babylonian gods, the god of this world, the devil, right? He is the little g God of this world.
Right.
And that's who they're worshiping. And so here Daniel finds himself in the midst of all of this. And I want you to understand, these pagan, unbelieving, idol-worshipping Babylonians were in power. Now, does that sound familiar? For hundreds of years, and I don't think that's an understatement, for hundreds of years, preachers have stood in pulpits across this great country that we love, that we call home, and they have preached judgment's coming. Judgment is coming. Wake up! Wake up! Judgment is coming. For hundreds of years, you say hundreds of years, I mean, how old is our country? 270, help me out, Brother Dan. 240? Okay, somewhere in there. I'm going back before the Constitution, maybe. But anyway, over 200 years, America has had preachers. We got some of them on the back wall back there that have blazed the trail preaching righteousness. And the Bible says righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. And for hundreds of years, God has put preachers in this country that have went up and down. In the beginning, they went up and down the eastern shore of our country preaching, and revivals broke out. And New England saw a great revival. And then there was the revival down in North Carolina, and there was revivals that broke out all across the eastern part of our country, and they spread across the middle and the western part of our country. And America saw a revival, and America saw God do great and mighty things. But from that time, preachers have been preaching, if we ever stop following God, if we ever turn from this Bible, if we ever leave the God of our forefathers, judgment will come. And I'm afraid that we're living in a time where it's beginning to happen. The Babylonians are in power. You say, oh, Brother David, do you mean that the Democrats are Babylonians? Yes. Do you mean that the Republicans are Babylonians? Yes. It's not one party here. It's people. It's sinful people in power. And they've come in and they've taken captive the people of God. Now, I understand I'm getting a little bit out of the context this morning, but I believe it applies. God told the children of Israel, you turn away, I'll bring you in captivity. I'll lift my hand of blessing off of you, and I will judge you. And I believe our country is seeing the judgment of God. God has been merciful to this country. God has been so good to this country. But I'm telling you, brethren, for hundreds of years, preachers have preached, turn back to God, turn back to God, turn back to God. And we have steadily turned away from God. I think it's a shame. I saw this on Twitter yesterday, and I'll just go ahead and say it. I'm not trying to lose nobody this morning. But another preacher said it. I'm just quoting him. He said, it's a shame that trick or trunks will fill up our church parking lots, but the Word of God and the church house and the preaching of the Bible don't. That's a shame, brethren. There'll be churches packed out tonight all over this country because they got candy in the trunk of a car, but yet in the house of God, where men of God stand up and proclaim the Word of God, you can't get people down to the church. And we wonder why God is lifting His hand off of this country. We wonder why the Babylonians are in charge. We wonder why they've taken us captive and they're doing all that they're doing. And I'm telling you, that's where Daniel was living. And I'm spending way too much time on this first point, but I really want to nail home where we're at and how it applies. These Babylonians, these pagans, these unbelieving idol worshipers are in power. The temple's destroyed. The wicked are ruling. If you read through the book of Daniel, you'll see drunkenness, revelings, parties. Thousands, it said. Nebuchadnezzar, he brought his thousands in, and they drank, and they partied, and they did all these things. Belteshazzar, and they did all these things. And that's what was going on in Daniel's day. Banqueting, reveling, drunkenness, vulgarity, immorality. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? It sounds familiar. Can I tell you, Washington, D.C.'s ate up with it.
Right.
Drunkenness. Immorality, revelings, banqueting. They don't care about us, brethren. They just want to keep having their parties and keep their power and keep us in bondage. And that's where Daniel's living. But can I tell you, Daniel didn't let it stop him from being different. That's what I want to challenge us with this morning. They were trying to brainwash Daniel. If you look in verse number 4, it says, the children who know blemish, but well-favored and skillful in all wisdom and cunning and knowledge and understanding, science, and as such has had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. You see what they were trying to do? They were trying to brainwash them. I have got to move on. But I'm telling you, brethren, we're living in a day where they're trying to brainwash our young people. This stuff that's going on in our own state, in Loudoun County, it's been all over national news. You say, what's that about? It's about the Chaldeans. It's about the Babylonians. It's about the pagan, godless, unbelieving people in power wanting to brainwash our children. This isn't about a political party. So if you're here this morning and you say, oh, you're preaching political preaching. No, this isn't about a political party. I haven't called a political party. I'm talking about politics in general. I'm talking about an R, a D, an I. I don't care what they are. I'm telling you, the majority of them are Babylonians. They're Chaldeans. And they want to brainwash our children into believing that there's no God. That's what's happening today. This is a big deal, what's going on. And I'll just go ahead and put a plug in. Tuesday, there's an election in our state. And I would advise you, hey, vote, go out Tuesday and vote your conscience. And if your conscience is seared with a hot iron, come get with one of our pastors and we'll help you know what it's saying. But we need to vote. That's not the answer. But goodness gracious, it might give us a little more time. I'm telling you, this stuff is real. The Babylonians are trying to brainwash our children, and that's what was happening. They were trying to teach Daniel and his friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, was trying to teach them to talk the way the Babylonians talked. It said they wanted to teach them their language. He was trying to teach them to look like the Babylonians look. No doubt Daniel and his three friends, they were Jewish young men. No doubt they didn't dress the way the Chaldeans dressed. No doubt they didn't look the way the Chaldeans looked. No doubt they didn't talk the way the Chaldeans talked. No doubt they didn't believe what the Chaldeans believed, but yet the Chaldeans had come in and they were trying to conform them into their image. And that's what's happening. They want to get our children and teach them that they came from a monkey and that there's no God and that we evolved and that there's this and there's that, and they want to put us against one another. This race baiting and all this stuff. Can I tell you, we're all one race. We're God's race. Amen. We're all one people. We're God's people. In Christ, there's neither Jew nor Gentile nor Greek nor barbarian, but they're all one in Christ. But this world, the Babylonians and the Chaldeans, they want to divide us. They want to conquer us. And that's what's happening in Daniel's day. And I planned on preaching about that for 2 minutes. So I'm sorry, but I'm going to move on. They wanted to brainwash your children. And we got to wake up to it, brethren. I'm just trying to do what preachers have done for hundreds of years. I'm just trying to sound the alarm. And I know I'm preaching to the choir for the most part this morning. But some of you young people are here this morning. You need to understand they're out to brainwash you. They want to brainwash you. They want to take your God from you. They want to take your belief from you. They want to take your morals from you. They want to take your purity from you.
That's right.
Ultimately, they want to take your freedoms from you.
That's right.
And in the end, really, it's all said and done. The real God that's behind all this, that little g God, he wants to take your soul from you. That's what he's really after. He's not after our country. He's after our souls.
Right.
And our country is just standing in the way. Our freedoms are just standing in the way. Churches like this one are just standing in the way. And he wants to take our children's souls. But in all of that, I thank God for a man that was willing to take a challenge.
Amen.
Take a challenge. Could I encourage you this morning? Somebody take the challenge. I've been praying. God, raise up a Daniel. God, get a hold of the heart of some of these young men and young ladies in our church. And God, raise them up and help them to dare to be a Daniel. Say, what did Daniel do, Brother David? Well, number one, let's look at Daniel's resolve. Look at verse number 8. The Bible says, but Daniel purposed in his heart. That word purpose means he made a decision.
Right.
He set it in stone. He had a resolve about him. Daniel resolved, he said. Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not, and here it is again, defile himself. You say, what did Daniel do? What did Daniel dare to do? Daniel dared to have a resolve in the face of defilement. Daniel resolved not to defile himself. Would to God we had a resolve like this in our day. Would to God that we would have a resolve in our day to say, I am not going to defile myself with the king's meat. You say, what's the king's meat? I don't even want to get into all that this morning. I'm just telling you this. It was meat that had been offered to idols. It was meat that went against Daniel's religion and his belief system. And therefore, Daniel purposed in his heart, he made a resolve, I'm not going to defile myself with the king's meat. And I'm telling you, in 2021, we as God's people need to resolve to not defile ourselves with the things of this world.
Right.
That word defile means to be stained, to be filthy, to be dirty. And Daniel said, I'm not going to get dirty with the things of the world. God, give me a backbone. I mean that. I'm just as flesh as everybody in here this morning. And I want God to give me a backbone and a resolve that when temptation comes, I wouldn't defile myself with the king's meat. I wouldn't go against my God's commandments. I wouldn't do things that I know would be displeasing to my God. That's what Daniel decided. I'm resolved not to defile myself. I'm going to please my God. I wish some young person here this morning would make that decision. I am resolved, right? We sang the song, no longer to linger, right? I'm resolved. Would to God a young person would say, I'm resolved, Brother David. I'm not going to defile myself. Oh, though none go with me, still I will follow. Right? I've decided to follow Jesus. I'm not looking back. If none go with me, I'm still going to follow him. I'm not going to defile myself. Can I tell you this? If some young person would make that decision this morning, you never know who you might affect. Right. I love this. Verse number 8. Look at what it says. It says, Daniel purposed in what? What's the next word? Purposed in what? His heart. Daniel purposed in his heart. But look at verse number 11. It says, verse number 12, prove thy servants, I beseech thee, 10 days, and let them give us pulse to eat and water to drink. It went from him to us. That's good. That's good. If there was a young person in here this morning, maybe you came with your parents, or maybe you came in on a bus this morning, but maybe you would decide this morning, I'm not going to defile myself with the king's meat. I'm not going to follow the ways of the world. I'm not going to let the Babylonians corrupt me. I'm going to purpose in my heart. I'm going to resolve to follow God. You never know, somebody might go with you. Daniel purposed in his heart. I believe the Holy Ghost wanted us to know that. Daniel said, I purposed in my heart. But guess what? My three friends, they went with me. Right. Sometimes they just need a leader. I've been praying for months that God would raise up a leader in our youth group. Say, I'm going to serve God whether nobody else does. I'm going to do right if nobody else does. I'm gonna stop texting that garbage if nobody else does. I'm gonna quit looking at that stuff if nobody else does. I'm gonna erase that app if nobody else does. I'm gonna do right if nobody else does. You'd be surprised, somebody might go with you.
Amen.
Daniel had a resolve in the face of defilement. Can I tell you, Daniel had a resolve in the face of a decree? Go to Daniel chapter 6. There's two degrees in the book, but for sake of time, I'm not gonna look at the other one. There was a decree in chapter number 2, I believe it is, that the king had a dream, and he couldn't remember his dream. And man, how would you like it? Their king, never mind, I'm not even going to go there. I will lose some of you, but their king was a little crazy. You read between the lines. So I know I just said that, man. I can't help myself sometimes. Their king, their king had a dream. Right? And he said he couldn't remember his dream. He said, hey, go get all the astrologers and the magicians and all the wise men, and if they can't tell me my dream, kill them all. Now, he couldn't remember his dream. Like, king, can you just give me something? Like a, you know, a preview or something? a little 30-second snippet. I mean, just give me something, king. No, I can't remember nothing, and if they can't tell me, I'm going to kill them all. That was the decree that went out. And Daniel stood in the face of that decree. Daniel went to the prince of the eunuchs and said, hey, just give me a little bit of time. I'm going to find out the answer to that dream. He went to his boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He said, hey, guys, we need to pray. We need to get a hold of God. We need God to show us this dream. And he did, and he gave the dream. And so he stood in the face of that decree. But I want us to look at a more familiar decree in Daniel chapter number 6. When Daniel stood in verse number 3, the Bible says, that Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. And I'm going to read down and skip through a little bit because I want to get to the point. Look at verse number 8. It says, now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing that it be not changed according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. Wherefore, King Darius, sign the writing and the decree. There it is again, decree. Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, look at what he did. He went into his house, and his windows opened in his chamber toward Jerusalem. He kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. They said, Daniel, there's a decree. If you keep serving your God, you're going to get thrown into the den of lions. You know what Daniel did? He had a resolve. If it means a den of lions, I'm following the king. I'm following God. Now, I mean, it just applies. It just applies. I'm not trying to take it out of context here this morning. I'm just applying the Bible to our day. That's what we're supposed to do, right? These things were written for our admonition. Can I tell you, they've been putting out some decrees.
Right.
The Chaldeans, the Babylonians, right? They've been putting out some decrees saying you can't worship your God. You can't go to the house of God. You can't talk about your God. Would to God that we would have some Daniels that would have a resolve to say, I'm going to do what God said to do. And I thank God. I'm preaching to the choir this morning. I'm talking to a bunch of people that believe that. But I'm just telling you, hey, we haven't seen nothing yet.
Right.
We haven't seen nothing yet, brethren. I'm convinced of that. We think it was bad in 2020. Who knows what's to come in 2022? And I'm going to tell you what it's going to take. It's going to take God's people having some resolve in the face of a decree. When they say, hey, you can't worship your God, what are we going to do? When they say you can't witness for your God, what are we going to do? When they say you can't give out those gospel tracts, you can't preach about that Jesus, you can't carry that Bible, you can't run that bus route, you can't give to those missionaries, you can't do that, what are we going to do when they say you can't do that? I hope we'll dare to be a Daniel.
Amen.
And have a resolve. And I'm going to follow God regardless of what they say.
Amen.
Now, I believe we can do it with the right spirit. Daniel, if you read this, Daniel did it with a good spirit.
That's right.
So for those of you that are ready to pull your sleeves up, I understand. But Daniel, he stood, but he stood with a good spirit.
Right.
He had resolve about him. He had a conviction about him. And would to God that in this day, there would be some Daniels. Can I ask you this morning, brother? Hey, if the Daniels don't come from this church, where are they going to come from? I mean, if a good church like Fellowship Baptist Church that preaches the Bible, that lives for God, I mean, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, revival meetings, Bible school, missions conference. I mean, our life revolves around the church of God. There's so many people in our community and in your family that think we go to a cult down here. It's a fact. They think we're a cult because we're so serious about our God. And if we, in this church, where we try to live our lives according to this Bible and to the dictates of our heart, if we can't raise up any Daniels, where are they going to come from? Where are the Daniels that would say, I'm resolved, and not laugh while the preaching's going on? And not snickering and texting and not paying attention. I'm not being mean. I'm being serious. Where are they going to come from? This is serious stuff, man. The Chaldeans are taking over. The Babylonians are trying to take us captive. They shut our churches down last year. There's still churches today that are shut down. There's churches that quit soul winning. They quit outreach. They shut down their bus ministry. Why? Because of a decree. Where are the Daniels that has some resolve that in the face of defilement, in the face of a decree, they say, I'm going to stand. I'm going to stand. I'm going to follow God. I'm going to do right. Though the stars fall, I'm going to do right. Though the enemy comes, I'm going to do right. Those people on that wall back there, they believe that. See that man back there in the middle? You don't have to turn around right now, but if you do, he's got his arm outside of the window of a jail cell. I believe that was here in Virginia. In Virginia. Man was preaching the gospel and the soldiers. You can look at it when you leave. There's a soldier coming from the backside. They would run through the crowd on their horse and they would divide the crowd so that the people would leave as he preached. And they had a knife. The soldier's got a knife in his hand and they would come through. And as he was preaching out the window, he'd take that knife and try to slash his hand and try to get him to get back in the window and to disperse the crowd because of the preaching. That's what went on in this country. But those men right there had a backbone and they had a resolve and they said, you know what, whether they lock me up, whether they beat me, whether they torture me, whether they take my business, whether they take my freedom, I'm going to preach the gospel. I'm going to do right.
Amen.
They were resolved. God give us that resolve.
Amen.
I'm preaching to myself this morning. God give me that kind of resolve. When it comes, I want to stand. I want to be counted with those in Hebrews chapter 11. They were sawn asunder. They were in caves and in dens, but they stood in the face of adversity. You say, is that coming in our country, brother? I don't know. But if it does, I hope we're ready for it. I hope we have a resolve. God, I'm going to do right no matter what. Daniel had a resolve against defilement and against the decree. Number two, Daniel had we see his resolve. Number two, I want to see this, his reputation. Look at chapter number five. I'm going to hurry. Look at chapter number five. I know none of y'all believe that, but I mean that. Chapter number five, verse number 11, the Bible says this. There is a man in thy kingdom, I wish I could read it all, but I won't, in whom the spirit of the holy gods, and in the days of thy father, light and understanding and wisdom, like the wisdom of the gods, was found in him, whom the king Nebuchadnezzar, thy father, the king, I say, thy father, made master of the magicians, astrologers, Chaldeans, and soothsayers, for as much as an excellent spirit and knowledge and understanding and interpreting of dreams and showing of hard sentences and dissolving of doubts were found in the same Daniel, who the king named Belteshazzar. Now let Daniel be called, and he will show the interpretation. Then was Daniel brought in before the king, and the king spake and said unto Daniel, art thou that Daniel? I like that. He said, are thou that Daniel?
Amen.
Say, which Daniel? That one with the excellent spirit. That one that understands. That one that has knowledge. Are you that Daniel? That one that had a resolve in the face of defilement. That one that had a resolve when there was a decree. Are you that Daniel? The king spake and said unto Daniel, art thou that Daniel which art the children of captivity of Judah, whom the king my father brought out of Jewry? I have even, look at it, heard of thee, that the spirit of the gods is in thee, and that light and understanding and excellent wisdom is found in thee. You see, he's using a little g. He doesn't know God. He doesn't know the true and living God, but he knows that Daniel serves a God. He knows there's something different about this guy, Daniel. He's heard of Daniel, his reputation. Look in chapter number 6. Look at verse number 3. The Bible says, then this Daniel, that Daniel, this Daniel, they want us to know which Daniel it is. It's that one with the good reputation. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes because of an excellent spirit was in him. And the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault, for as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. He said, if we're going to find anything with this Daniel, there's another Daniel probably down there that's not this Daniel, but if we're going to find anything against this Daniel, it's going to have to be in regards to his God. Are you with me, brother? And I know it's getting a little late and it's hot in here. Am I the only person hot? I'm sweating like crazy up here. But hey, listen to me. This is important. Hey, Daniel had a good reputation. I put here his reputation was fantastic. He had a fantastic reputation. He had an excellent spirit. It said that more than one time. Excellent. I thought of the word excellent. I thought of fantastic. Daniel had a fantastic reputation in the community. The Bible says, Proverbs 22, verse 1, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches and loving favor than silver and gold. A good name. I'd rather have a good name in the community than all the money, all the wealth, all the fame, all the whatever you want to call it. Hey, Daniel had a good name. He had a good reputation. It was fantastic. It even says it was faultless in verse number 4. Did you see that? It said in verse number 4, it said the president and the princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning his kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault. Neither was there any error or fault found in him. Wow. That's not teaching sinless perfection, brethren. Daniel wasn't sinless. Daniel was faultless. There's a difference. Daniel was doing everything he could to do the right thing. They couldn't point the finger and say, hey, Daniel, I know. See, I got my own business. I pray to God there's nobody running down this community. And I mean that. I'm throwing myself out there. I pray to God there's nobody around this community saying that David Oliver's a crook. I can't tell you the times I've told my guys I've done stuff. I'll just say it right now. I've had people try to, I'm just going to throw it out there. All right, hey, I'm transparent here. I've had people try to give me large amounts of cash money, and I said no. And I've had guys that work with me say, what in the world is wrong with you? I said, hey, I don't want to have fault. I want to live without fault, not without sin. I'm a sinner. But God give me a backbone and a resolve to be faultless. Have I always been? No. I'm not standing up here saying I have been. But I'll tell you this, I'm striving to be. I want to be without fault. I don't want people to point their finger at David Oliver and say, oh, he's that preacher down at Fellowship Baptist Church. But I'll tell you what, he's a crook when it comes to painting. He's a liar when it comes to his dealings. He's a backbiter. He's a hypocrite, whatever, you name it. I don't want them to be able to say it. Now, they're going to say it. Can I tell you, they're going to say it, but I don't want them to have any meat behind it when they say it. Just everything you hear is not true, okay? Just so you say, oh, well, I heard this about this preacher. I heard this about this Christian. Just because you heard it don't mean it's true. You ought to tell them, can you bring me some evidence? But I want to be without fault the best I can be. Daniel was faultless. He had a fantastic reputation. He had a faultless reputation. He had a faithful reputation. Man, if any, the Bible says that in Proverbs chapter number 20, it says men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find? The Bible says more of it's required in a steward than a man be found faithful. Would to God we had some people that just say, I want to be faithful. Daniel was faithful. Did you see it? Look in verse number 4. It says, at the end of verse number 4, it says, for as much as he was faithful, neither was there any fault, error or fault found in him. Look at verse number 16 of chapter 6. It says, then the king demanded, they brought Daniel and cast him in the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, thy God whom thou servest, look at it continually. The king knew Daniel was faithful. Verse number 20, the king come and he said, when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God whom thou servest, look at it continually. Able to serve, save thee, to deliver, able to deliver thee from the lions. The king said, Daniel's faithful. What a testimony. Brethren, hey, we can't all sing. I can testify to that. We can all be faithful. We can't all preach. We can all be faithful. We can't all, you know, do this or do that, but I'll tell you this, we can all be faithful. We can't all give the same amount as this one gives or that one gives, but we can all be faithful. God's looking for some people like Daniel that say, I'm going to be faithful. I'm going to have a reputation in my community as a person that is faithful. See, we'll find out. And I'm not being mean now. I'm not. I hope I'm saying this in an excellent spirit. But your neighbors tonight, they're going to be watching to see if you're faithful. What clothes you going to have on tonight? Church clothes? Or the Chaldean clothes?
Right.
I had to throw that in there. Right. You going to have on your costume? I mean, hey, I'm being serious. They're watching. They're watching. My neighbors know I'm a preacher. They know I come to church. They know. They should know you do. And if they do, they're going to be watching. Wonder what they're doing tonight. Halloween? They used to go to church on Sunday nights. I wonder if they're going tonight. How's our reputation? How does our family view us? I'm getting down to where it meets now. How does our family view us? How do those we work with view us? I pray to God that my coworkers say that's a faithful man. Not a perfect man, but he's a faithful man. Daniel had a faithful reputation. Number three. We see his resolve. We see his reputation. Number three, I want us to see his reward. I'm not going to even look at it. I'm just going to hit them, highlight them. Daniel, you know, God rewards faithfulness.
Right.
In the midst of all this, I wish I could go into it. Now, the Chaldeans are in control, brethren. The Babylonians are running the world pretty much at the time. But can I tell you, in the midst of all of it, God was rewarding Daniel's faithfulness. In chapter number one, if you look in chapter number one, you'll see at the end of the chapter that Daniel had favor. The Bible says in verse number 20, it says, in all matters of wisdom and understanding, the king inquired of them. He found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in all his realm. And Daniel continued even unto the first year of King Cyrus. You see, Daniel gave them, God gave Daniel, verse number 9, look at it. Now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. God was blessing Daniel's faithfulness. He provided for Daniel. When Daniel went and eat the king's meat, Daniel and his servants said, prove us. Give us beans. Give us water. See what happens. And the Bible says that they tried him. He said, try us for 10 days. He didn't go in there and revolt. he just said, hey, give us 10 days. See what happens. Daniel did it with a good spirit. He said, all right, Daniel, let's see what happens. 10 days, Daniel and his three friends didn't eat the king's meat. And it says after 10 days, they were fatter and in better shape than all the other. See, we're in good shape. They were better shape than all the other people. That's right. It's okay. Be a little chunky. Right? Daniel, God gave him favor. He gave him favor. He provided for him. Not only did he provide for him, he protected him. Daniel chapter 6, we saw it. Daniel went into the lion's den, and what did God do? He protected him. I'm not going to read it for sake of time, but we just read it. Daniel was down there with those lions, and the king came and said, oh, Daniel, did your God that you serve faithfully and continually, did he deliver you? And Daniel said, oh, king, don't you worry. My God took care of me.
Amen.
Them lions ain't touched me. God's done sewed their mouth shut. God turned them lions into, what do you call it? I can't even think of the word now. They don't eat meat. Vegetarians. Vegetarian lions, right? You never know there was such thing right there in Daniel. God protected him. God provided for him. God promoted him. If you read in chapter number 2, when Daniel went before that decree and he told the king his dream, I'm not going to do it for sake of time, but if you go home and you read Daniel chapter 2 and verse number 48, the Bible says that the king promoted Daniel to the number one in the nation. Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were over all kinds of affairs. To the point that in chapter number 6, we read it a little while ago. Remember, those guys were mad at Daniel. Look in chapter number 6 real quick. We'll look at that one. Daniel was preferred, right? He was promoted above the presidents and princes because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. The king was going to make Daniel over everything. You see, God, he promoted Daniel. He provided for Daniel. He protected Daniel. And can I tell you, I really like this one. He preserved Daniel. See, there's people that are scared to death, and I get it. You know what? And we look at our country, and we look at inflation, and we look at our freedoms, and we look at all these things that are happening, and we start to think, what are we going to do? Can I tell you? If we'll stay faithful to God, if we'll follow God, and we'll have a resolve to follow God, and if we'll have a reputation that is fantastic, and a reputation that is faultless, and a reputation that is faithful, I'm convinced in my heart that God is going to provide for us. God is going to protect us. God is going to promote us, and God in the end is going to preserve us.
Amen.
Now, God's not guaranteeing that his people won't go through hard times, but God guarantees he'll go with them through them. I could have said that Daniel had a resolve in the defilement, in the decree, and I could have said Daniel had a resolve in the den. God might let you get into a den. God might let me get into a den, but I'll tell you this, God will go with us in it. Just like God was with Daniel in that den, and God was with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in that fire, can I tell you, God will be with you in whatever you go through if you'll follow him.
Amen.
If some young person this morning would decide, I'm going to resolve to dare to be a Daniel, and I'm going to have a resolve, and I'm going to have a reputation, I promise you upon the authority of the Word of God, God will give you a reward. God will be faithful to you. He will provide for you. He will protect you. He will promote you, and he will preserve you all the way to the end. I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. Lo, I am with thee always, even unto the end of the world. Thank God that no matter what comes, no matter what comes in our country, no matter what comes in our world, no matter what comes in this old sin-cursed earth that we live on, can I tell you, our God is faithful, and he is going to be with us through it all. God preserved Noah, and he's going to preserve you. God preserved Abraham, he's going to preserve you. God preserved Elijah, he's going to preserve you. God preserved Daniel, God preserved David, God preserved his disciples. God's been preserving and preserving and preserving. And can I tell you, if we'll follow him, he's going to preserve us too. God's no respecter of persons. That's his reward. And then last, and I'm done, his relationship. Can I tell you, I just want you to see this. Look at chapter number 2. We'll go through them real quickly, and I'm done. Chapter number 2, look at verse number 23. You got to see this. Chapter 2, verse number 23, it says, I thank thee and praise thee, O thou God of my fathers, who has given me wisdom and might, and has made known unto me that what we desired of thee, for thou hast now made known unto us the king's matter. Look in verse number 47. Chapter 2, verse 47, it says, the king answered unto Daniel and said, of a truth, it is, look at it, that your God is the God of gods, and a Lord of kings, and a revealer of secrets, seeing thou couldest reveal this secret. Look in chapter number 6. Look at chapter number 6 and look at verse number 5. I'm skipping all kinds of references here, but I want to get to the end of the message. Verse number 5 said, then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of, and look at the next word, his God. Look at verse number 10. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being opened in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God. Look at verse number 11. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. Verse number 22 says that my God, Daniel speaking, then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. And look at it, my God has sent his angel and has shut the lion's mouths, and they have not hurt me, for as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. Then was the king exceeding glad for him and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him. And look at it, because he believed in, here it is, his God. We saw Daniel's resolve. We saw his reputation. We saw his reward, but can I tell you, none of it would have been possible if it were not for his relationship. His God. Daniel said, my God. Over and over, it was his God, Daniel's God, my God. Personally, Daniel had a relationship with God. See, I can't make it on my preacher's relationship with God. Young person, you can't make it on mom and dad's relationship with God. Ma'am, you can't make it on your husband's relationship with God. Sir, you can't make it on your wife's relationship with God. No, it's personal. Daniel had a relationship with God. It was personal. His God. Is he your God? Is he your God this morning? Because I'm telling you, we're living in times very similar to what Daniel lived in. The Chaldeans are coming. The Babylonians are taking over. The pagans, the God deniers, the idol worshipers, they're taking over. You know what's going to matter? Do you have a relationship with God? Because if you don't, you're not going to make it. You're not going to stand. You're not going to have resolve. You're not going to have a good reputation. You're not going to have that reward. God's going to take care of his children. Amen. God's promised to take care of his children. Right. I wonder this morning, are you his child? Say, oh yeah, I'm his child. We're all his children. No, we're all his creation. You become his child by a new birth.
Right.
You see, we're created in the image of God, but we don't become a child until we're born into the family of God. October 16, 2005, I got born again. I got saved. I got washed in that blood they sang about this morning.
Amen.
I had a personal encounter with God. And because of that, I have a relationship with that God. Do you? Do you have a relationship with God this morning? Daniel did. He had a personal relationship. No, they had a powerful relationship. We won't look at that, but I mean, I think we've seen it. How's your relationship with God this morning? Or do you even have one? If you don't have a relationship with God this morning, I pray that you would. I pray that you would. Regardless of what happens in this country, regardless if things turn around or whatever happens, it still doesn't matter. What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Do you have a relationship with God? Let's pray. Father, thank you, God, for your goodness. Thank you for your word. I pray, God, that you'd bless it this morning. God, I pray that you would take what was given. Lord, I know it was lengthy and I'm sorry. But God, I've preached what you laid upon my heart. God, I pray that you would use it in somebody's heart, in somebody's life today. God, I pray that there would be some Daniels in this place. God, some young people that would rise up and say, I will be a Daniel. Some adults, maybe some older saints that have gotten cold, God, I pray they'd say, today, I'm going to resolve, I'm going to purpose in my heart to be a Daniel. God, give us courage and backbone in this day we live. God, if there's any here today that are not saved, they do not have a personal relationship with you. God, I pray that today they would get that settled. God, for whatever you do, we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. With your heads bowed and eyes closed, you can stand to your feet if you would.